Bonsoir. Bienvenue à ce séminaire spécial. Donc, je vais ensuite parler en anglais pour introduire notre hôte, Madame Kleinau. So, welcome to Professor Sandra Kleinau. She's a professor of molecular immunology, I think, at the University of Uppsala, Sweden. And she has been for a long time a specialist of autoimmunity and more specifically the role of B cells in autoimmunity, with experimental models as well as some nice studies in human immunology. And I think you have been particularly interested in marginal zone B cells. Mm. I know you are going to talk about these marginal zone B cells, as well as I saw that you have published quite a number of papers about Fc gamma receptors in autoimmunity. Yeah. So that's probably a topic you are not going to.
No, not this time.
Okay. For me, it's very nice to have Sandra Kleinau with us this week, because for those of you who are interested, next week I'm starting my teaching course here at the Collège de France on autoimmunity. So it's the most the kind of introduction I could have dreamed of to start with you, to introduce the topic of autoimmunity, which is of course very important in the context one of immunology, because autoimmunity is a kind of cost we have to pay to have an efficient immune system. And of course, the medical impact is very strong. So this is what you are going to tell us about. Thank you very much to be here and to talk to this very selected group of people. Thank you.
So is this okay? Yes? Okay. So first of all, welcome, everyone. I hope that you will enjoy my presentation that I'm going to have today. And we're going to talk about autoimmunity, as Alain Fischer told you about. And I'm going to present to you a little bit of an introduction to the immune system for those of you that don't know of the immune system, just a few slides, and then I'm going to continue to present the B cells and the function of the B cells. And finally, then I'm going to also then discuss the findings that we have done with these type of cells in an autoimmune model. So this will be the lecture outline: immune system, autoimmunity, one autoimmune disease called rheumatoid arthritis. I'm going to talk about B lymphocytes and their function, and then a subset of B lymphocytes, the marginal zone B cells, which is the focus of this talk. And then I'm going to also talk about the self-reactive B cells in arthritis. So the immune system. Every organism has an immune system that protects against infection. And this defense must detect a wide variety of microbes, such as bacteria, virus, and fungi, and parasites. So this is very important. And we immunologists, we call a foreign substance that activates an immune response an antigen. So this word you will hear further on. The immune system can be divided into parts. You have the innate immunity and you have the adaptive immunity. And the innate immunity is represented by several cell types. They recognize microbes through patterns on these microbes. This recognition is not so specific, but they recognize these kind of patterns. But what is really good with this innate immune response is that it's very rapid. It goes within a few hours, and then they are fighting against the bacteria. However, there is no memory induced. That means that if these cells encounter cell bacteria again, they will respond in the same way, with the same strength. This is in contrast to the adaptive immune system, which contains the lymphocytes. The lymphocytes are specific because they carry a receptor which binds to antigen. This receptor they need to develop, and this takes quite a while, so that's why it takes longer for this adaptive immunity to respond to microbes. So there's a slower response of this immune system. But they are very specific. They can recognize single molecules on a specific antigen. A good thing about adaptive immunity is also that they induce memory. So that means that if the individual encounters the same bacteria or virus again, the lymphocytes are already there and can fight against this infection. So the strength of the response is stronger and it's faster. And I'm going to talk about the B cells, the B lymphocytes, in my talk. So in an immune response, you have an activation. And in the activation, you also need a regulation. And you don't want to have a response to your own proteins. So our immune system has control mechanism, which only allows then attacks against foreign antigens and not against self-antigens. I mean, proteins that we have in our body. And we call this tolerance to self, immune tolerance. Under unfortunate conditions, immune tolerance can break lymphocytes to become self-reactive. And they will then attack tissue or your own body, and this will lead to an autoimmune disease. And any type of organ can be affected. And example of autoimmune diseases is the type 1 diabetes, multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, inflammatory bowel disease, colitis, and Crohn's. So the model of autoimmunity that I study is rheumatoid arthritis. And this is the most common autoimmune disease. It affects about 1% of the population, and it's spread all over the world. It's characterized by inflammatory polyarthritis, mainly affecting the peripheral joints of the hands and feet, as shown here. These typical joints are affected. What is interesting is that this disease is more common in women than in men, and the onset is usually between 40 and 60 years. Today, there is no cure, but we have really good immune suppressive treatments. One very characteristic thing about this disease is that these patients, they develop autoantibodies in their blood. These are antibodies that react to your own tissue. So the most common autoantibodies in rheumatoid arthritis is this rheumatoid factor and anti-citrullinated peptide antibodies. And these two together are really good for making the diagnosis of rheumatoid arthritis. To study a human disease, sometimes you need animal models because you need to know what happens before you see the clinical manifestation. And a way to do that is to use animal models. And one very common animal model for arthritis is this collagen-induced arthritis, which we use in our lab. This one is triggered by collagen type 2, and this is a cartilage-specific protein. And it is actually a target in the inflammatory attack in rheumatoid arthritis. So if you use that protein together with an adjuvant, which is a strong immune stimulator, you can actually induce arthritis in mice. The mice needs to have a certain background, a genetic background. In this case, we use DBA1 mice. And then we immunize the mice with the collagen in Freund's complete adjuvant. And then there is induction phase. And this induction phase, you don't see any clinical manifestation. They don't have any arthritis. But during this time, something happens with the immune system. We see that these mice start to develop an autoimmune response to collagen. And they will produce IgG anti-collagen antibodies. And after these 3 weeks, we call these then the effector phase, and that's when the mice start to develop the polyarthritis. And you can also see here the swollen fingers of the mouse. So there are many things that resemble rheumatoid arthritis, but we should remember that this is a model for the disease, so not everything is similar because you need to induce it, of course. We know that autoantibodies are important in RA and also in collagen arthritis. And that indicates that the B lymphocytes, which produces antibodies, are important. So they play a key role in these diseases. So in RA, you have the autoantibodies as an indication that the B cells are involved. You have also ectopic B cell follicles in the inflamed tissue, and it's depicted here with this red color. And this is inflammatory tissue in the joint, and usually you should not have these B cells there, but in RA you have really lots of B cells in these areas. And the newest therapy in rheumatoid arthritis today is actually using rituximab, and that is an antibody against CD20, and CD20 is a marker for B cells. So with this antibody you can deplete the B cell, and this will then improve the symptoms in RA patients, such as the tender and swollen joints will go down, and also the autoantibody levels will drop in the patients. In collagen arthritis, they also have these autoantibodies, and if you take those and you transfer them to a naive mouse, that means untouched mouse, this mouse will then develop arthritis. So that indicates that these antibodies, IgG and the collagen antibodies, they are pathogenic. And we know that B cell deficient mice, they are resistant to arthritis. So the function of B cells is, of course, the antibody production, which is the most known function and important function. But the B cell has also other functions. And that is that they can secrete something that we call cytokines. These cytokines can affect the rest of the immune system and modulate the immune response. They can also, the B cell can also present an antigen to T cell. So this is the way how you stimulate and activate a T cell. That is having a cell that will present the antigen to a T cell, then the T cell can be activated. And this is the function of the B cell. So, as I said, if you have something that is activating a immune cell, you always have something that dampens this, that dampens this response. And for that, the B cell has receptors, what we call inhibitory receptors, present on their surface, which will then self-regulate the response in the B cell. But of course, there are also extrinsic factors, meaning that signals from outside of the immune system can also affect the B cell to tune down the response or inhibit the response completely. I've studied a little bit of the self-regulation, and that is that I've investigated two types of receptors. And the receptors are Fc gamma receptor 2b, and it also has a number in immunology. We have a lot of numbers, so different molecules have different numbers. So Fc gamma receptor 2b binds IgG immune complexes, and by doing so, it can regulate the B cell receptor signaling. So it can downregulate the antibody production, for example, in a B cell. The complement receptor 1 and 2, they will bind fragments of complement. And complement are proteins that circulate in the body, and they attach to antigens so that we can easily recognize, our immune system can then easily recognize the target, the antigens that are tagged with the complement. So these receptors are both involved in the regulation of a B cell. So we have in earlier studies shown that mice that are knocked out of genes coding either the Fc gamma receptor 2b or complement receptor 1 and 2, these proteins are encoded by the same gene, but due to alternative splicing, you can get two variants of this same gene. So if you use mice that lack either of these, then we see that the susceptibility to this model, to arthritis, is increased. So they become more sensitive, the animals. And we have also done some studies on B cells, B lymphocytes in RA patients, and we actually see that there is this significant decreased expression of Fc gamma receptor 2b, complement receptor 1 and 2, which could indicate that the B cells are not so well regulated in RA. So, coming to the different type of cells, the most common B cells where we have most of is the follicular B cell. You can find this in the follicles, in the spleen and lymph nodes. And they go through many different stages in order to produce high affinity antibodies. This is in contrast to these type of cells, they produce also antibody, but they are not so specific. They have lower affinity to the antigen. And they also, not only do they respond with the B cell receptor, they will also be activated very easily with receptors, more innate type of receptors called toll-like receptors. So they can be very easily activated by toll-like receptors, which these cells do not. They have the receptors, but they are not so easily stimulated as these are. And these are then, we say, innate-like B cells. Because they can also respond quite quickly to an antigen, in contrast to these cells, because these cells need T cells to become fully activated. So the marginal zone, of the name marginal zone B cells, means that they are present in the marginal zone. And what is the marginal zone? Well, this is a sketch of a mouse spleen, and here you have the follicles. And this is then enlarged here. So you see this blue area here where you have the follicle, and this is where you found the follicular B cell. And then you have a T cell zone, and then you have this marginal zone here, and the sinus, and this is the open area. And this is where the antigen pass by when blood is infiltrating into the spleen. And right, adjacent to the sinus, you have the marginal zone B cells. So they are present here where the antigen is coming in. And this is also where you find these specific macrophages that interact with the antigen. So they are in an area where there are a lot of antigens. So the feature of the marginal zone B cell is known pretty much. They respond mostly to T cell independent antigens. That means that they don't need the T cell to become activated, but they can also respond to antigens such as proteins, which need T cells. But most what the antibodies that they produce is mainly IgM. They can produce IgG, but mainly they produce IgM. And they are associated with the production of natural antibodies, antibodies that we have circulating in the blood all the time. So mostly of IgM type and with low affinity. The B cell receptor that they carry is polyreactive, and that means that it will bind to different type of foreign antigens, and at the same time, it will have reactivity, low affinity against self antigens. So there is a low self-reactivity in these cells. They can transport antigens to the follicles and they activate naive T cells. So our question was, when we set up to investigate the role of B cells in autoimmunity and especially autoimmune arthritis, was this question. How and where are self-reactive B cells activated? If certain B cell subsets initiate autoimmunity, or is it all of them that can initiate autoimmunity? How self-reactivity in B cell is regulated, and which B cell function contribute to autoimmune disease? These were questions that we wanted to answer. So, we know a little bit about the mechanism of this experimental model of arthritis, the collagen-induced arthritis model. Very important in this model is the immunoglobulin IgG, and it's specific for collagen. And we know pretty much about the effector phase, where the antibodies actually trigger the inflammatory response in the joints, and you can actually see manifestation of the inflammation. But what happens on this side, the induction phase, before the animal has produced this antibody, we don't know so much about. And this is also very interesting to study because this is very difficult to study in humans. Since when we get the patient, they are at this stage. So we don't know what's happened here. So with the model system, we can study this. And I've been interested in here how the B cell now has been activated by this collagen, and what role does a B cell have here? So the experimental setup we did was that we used the susceptible strain of mice, the DBA1 mice here, And we use naive ones that they were untouched, and then we have those that we immunize with collagen. And as a control group, we used a set of mice that were given, instead of collagen, they were given another protein called here ovalbumin. That is the control. And then we also used mice that were knocked out for the complement receptor 1 and 2 that I described previously, and also the Fc gamma receptor 2B knockout mice. So we took a blood sample of the mice, and when they were sacrificed, we took out the spleen and the lymph node, and we separated the B cells. And then from the B cells, we sorted out Mount zone B cells and follicular B cells. And then these cells were then investigated for self-reactivity to collagen, antibody production, proliferation, that means how many times they divide, and cytokine production, and antigen presentation to the T cells. In addition, we used a mouse that was also a DBA1 mouse, like this one, but you see it's a little bit different. And the thing is that in here we have induced a T cell receptor that is specific for collagen. So this is a transgenic mouse where we introduced a gene that is specific for collagen. So now the T cells here, they are specific for collagen. And if you sacrifice the mice and take out the spleen, you can prepare T cell suspensions. And these T cells then have been used in antigen presentation assays. So in vitro, we have used these collagen primed cells together with the T cells and looked if the T cell has been activated. We have also used this type of system, but then in vivo. That means that you take these cells, collagen-primed cells, and you introduce them to these mice, and they are naive, and hope that these monosome B cells might be able to present the antigen to the T cell. And then we have measured antibodies to collagen in these mice, and it's specifically IgG antibodies, since this is depending on T-cell response. So this is my first diagram that I'm going to show, of plenty, showing our experiments. So this experiment we did was just to screen where do we see the autoreactive B-cells when we have immunized mice. So the organs that we took was spleen, lymph node and bone marrow. We looked at the IgM response and IgG response. And this was done in an assay called ELISpot, which you use B cells and you see how much they produce antibodies to collagen. And you can see here, I hope, that there is this black bars here. These are against bovine collagen. Collagen that we use are from bovine origin, from cow. But since collagen molecule is very homologous among species, this will also trigger an immune response to mouse collagen. And the controls, they were immunized with ovalbumin. So then we did this setup in parallel to look at the B cells response to bovine collagen and to ova in the ova-immunized mice. And you see that the pattern looks very different. We see here that the response to bovine is very rapid in the spleen. And very interestingly is this came out that at day zero, that means that we have not touched those mice, they even have a response from the beginning, which seems to be triggered then by the immunization. So this was very interesting that we had this IgM and also some IgG response. And we also saw that there was a kind of delayed response to collagen in the lymph node. And then finally, you see that in the bone marrow, that the bone marrow will show self-reactivity against collagen a little bit later also, probably due to that there are plasma blasts homing to the bone marrow, which is known. So this led to that we wanted to check that this initial self-reactivity against bovine, is that true autoreactive response? So then we also used mouse collagen in this assay. So the mice are naive here, and then they are immunized with collagen. And we saw that the response to bovine was still there, but you also could see a slight response to mouse collagen. And then after immunization, the response is pretty much parallel. And this was seen for IgM. Also, you saw a little bit of the IgG response. So this indicates that this response that we see very early is actually an autoreactive response. And we think that this response is then triggered by the immunization. So there is self-reactivity to collagen, and this self-reactivity is then triggered when we immunize them with the same antigen that they recognized. And see that these are spleen and this is lymph node. So there's a lack here of response for about a week, a little more than a week. So we thought that this was also very interesting, and I will come back to this topic later on. But I just want to show also that we could also detect this response in the serum of the mice. So in the serum, we saw again at day zero, when they are untouched, that they have a response against bovine collagen and mouse collagen. So it's autoreactive response. And after immunization, the titers against collagen will increase. And this is the IgM response. The IgG takes a longer time to develop. We know that. So by day 12 here after immunization, we then see the IgG and the collagen response. And interestingly here, as just a note, is that now this response to mouse collagen is even greater than to the bovine. So we believe that this response is very important, because actually after 3 weeks, the mice starts to develop arthritis in this period. So we believe that this true autoreactive response of IgG and the collagen antibodies are for sure pathogenic. So, and then we had the knockout mice, and we also wanted to see how about their response to collagen. And when you compare this IgM response with this ELISpot, and you take B cells and then you put them on the plate against collagen, and these are naive mice, they are untouched, they produce about similar amount of this self-reactivity. It's very low, but it's still there, it's significant. But after immunization, there was a difference. There we saw that the mice that lack complement receptor, they produce more of the IgM response. And this was seen 5 and also 12 days after immunization. There was no effect on Fc gamma receptor 2b. But this was really significant finding, that this indicates that the complement receptor 1 and 2 regulate self-reactivity in the B cells. And then we wanted to know that this spontaneous or natural response to collagen, can that also be found in other strains? Because this is important to know. And we checked different strains here. We used nod mice and bulb C and C57 black 6 mice. And they all kind of had a response against collagen, mostly IgM, but there were also some IgG response. But we also could see that there was a differences in the strength. So C57 were not so good at having this spontaneous anti-collagen response, but some other strains had. So we just conclude that the genetic background influences the strength of this natural B cell reactivity to collagen. Okay, then we wanted to know, where does this self-reactivity come from? Because in the spleen, you have both follicular B cells and you have these Magnusson B cells. So we took the B cells and then we did a technique that we call flow cytometry and separated the cells. And you separate the cells via these markers. So Magnusson B cells, they are high in CD1d, is a molecule, and then they are low in CD23. So they will end up here. And the follicular one are vice versa, and they end up here. And by doing this, then you can tell the machine to sort this in one tube and tell the machine to sort this in another tube. And then you can do an analysis of this. And then we did again this ELISpot technique to check out the self-reactivity against collagen. And this is in naive mice, and you see that most of this response is then from the monosomal B cells. And after immunization, these are after immunization, you see that this response increases. So this tells us that this self-reactive response is actually coming from these monosomal B cells and not from the follicular B cells. And there was also some slight response on IgG in these cells. So we also wanted to see what happens with the monosomal B cells when you immunize mice. We know that they are in the marginal zone of a naive mice, but what happens when the mouse is immunized? So this slide shows a follicle, and this red area is then follicular B cells, and the green demonstrates the macrophages, where you have the marginal zone. And the blue here is a marker for monosomal zone B cells. And when it's combined with B220, which is a marker for B cell in general, it will turn out pink. So this pink area here is now monosomal zone B cells. So if you look at this area here and enlarge it, then we have marked here where we see these monosomal zone B cells. And if you have an immunized mice, you see that they co-localize together and there is an increased number. So it seems like that the shuttling of the monosomal zone B cells is increased when the mice is immunized. So that could indicate that the monosomal zone B cells, they interact with other cells there, like T cells and follicular B cells. Of course, we also needed to know that there was no other B cell subset involved in this self-reactivity, because there is also a small number of B1 B cells in the spleen. And this is also an innate type of B cell, so we wanted to know, okay, do they also have this self-reactivity? So we put these B1 B cells in the plate, in this ELISpot assay, but they never produced any ELISpots or any response to collagen with this technique. So in order to get a response from these cells, we had to activate them. So we activate them with a toll-like receptor ligand called CpG, and then we took the supernatant and investigated the antibodies in the supernatant. And this demonstrates IgM antibodies in the supernatant. So these are the B1 B cells that we wanted to investigate. And this shows that these are the naive B1 B cells. So there is no response there. So we could not detect the self-reactivity in this subset. But after immunization, okay, they produce some IgM anti-collagen antibodies. And this should then be compared with these monosomal zone B cells, which have this self-reactivity from the beginning in naive mice, which is increased then after immunization. So it seems like the B1 B cells seem not to be involved in this self-reactivity, at least in this initial self-reactivity to collagen. So then we wanted to know the function of the monosomal zone B cell in comparison to the follicular ones, because we saw now that the monosomal zone B cell seems to be very important in this model. So first we investigated how the proliferation was affected by using substances that activate the toll-like receptors like LPS or CpG, or an antibody that stimulate the B-cell receptor, anti-MI. And on this side you see the monosomal B cells, and this side you see the follicular B cells. And then we used different strains. We had the wild-type DBA1 mice or the knockouts, the complement receptor deficient or the Fc gamma receptor 2 deficient. So if we just concentrate on the white bars, then we see that the monosomal zone B cells, they proliferate really nicely with these toll-like receptor ligands. And actually, if you compare that with the response in the follicular ones, it's actually significantly increased compared to the follicular ones. And the vice versa is that if you stimulate the B cell receptor in the monsoon B cells, they can proliferate, but not as good as the follicular B cells when they're stimulated with the B cell receptor antibody. So they tend to respond a little bit differently depending on what receptor is activated. If it's toll-like receptors, then the monsoon B cell will be activated. If there is a B cell receptor activation, the FOB B cell will be much more easier activated. And then, in comparison with wild type and the knockouts, we also saw that the knockouts had a stronger proliferation, but that was seen both for monsoon B cells and for the follicular B cells. So the responses could be enhanced when the cells, either monsoon or follicular B cell, were lacking either receptors. So that indicates that these receptors also regulate the proliferation of these cells upon activation. And we also wanted to know, okay, what kind of cytokines do these cells produce? So we measured in an array where there you have a lot of cytokines, and this came out. We had three cytokines that we detected in the supernatant. The cells were stimulated in vitro with these different substances that activates toll-like receptors or this anti-B cell receptor antibody. And we saw IL-6, IL-10, and TNF-alpha in the monsoon B cells. But there were hardly any cytokines in the follicular B cells. So we conclude that the cytokine production is actually coming from these monsoon B cells. And if you compare the wild type with the complement receptor or the Fc gamma receptor 2 B deficient mice, you can also enhance the cytokine response. And this was really particularly seen in the IL-10 production. So if the cells are not regulated by these receptors, they will produce a lot more of this IL-10. So then we also wanted to know, are they efficient to present antigen to T cells? And we took the monsoon B cells and the follicular B cells and put them together with these collagen-specific T cells that comes from these transgenic mice that I described in the beginning. And when you put them together, you can mark the T cells with a color, and then you can follow the division of the T cells. So these cells have not divided, but then when they divide, they lose the color, so there will be a dilution in the color. So this will indicate that the cells are proliferating. So this is a diagram from the monsoon B cells, and this is a diagram from the follicular ones. So you can see that there's a difference here. And if you do statistics, then it shows that the monsoon B cells are better presenter than the follicular B cells. The follicular can present antigen, but the monsoon B cells are more efficient. And even from naive mice, that means that you take monsoon B cells from untouched mice and put them together with these T cells, you can have a slight proliferation of the T cells, but if they're primed, you can get much higher response. And then we wanted to know also that, can they also present antigen in vivo, that is, within the animal? So this is where we took cells. It was either monsoon B cells or follicular B cells, and they came from mice that had been immunized with collagen. So these are then collagen-primed cells. And they were then transferred to either the transgenic mice that carried the T cell receptor specific for collagen, or they were transferred to the wild-type mice. And you see here we have bled the mice 5, 12, and 21 days after we have transferred the cells. The cells were given intravenously into the mice. The mice were not immunized. They were just given the cells. And then we measured the antibodies against collagen, and specifically the IgG one, because IgG is dependent on T cells. So then we could get an indication that T cell had been activated in these mice. And really, we got a titer of antibodies where we had transferred the monsoon B cells at 5 days, at 12 days, and also at 21 days. We got a little bit after 21 days also by the follicular B cells. But this will just tell us that indeed they can present collagen in vivo in the animal. So the hypothesis is then that the collagen will then activate these natural self-reactive monsoon B cells, which are collagen reactive. And the collagen will stimulate the B cell receptor, which recognizes collagen, and the CFA, which is the complete Freund's adjuvant, contains a lot of ligands that will bind to the toll-like receptors, and that will trigger these monsoon B cells to become activated. They will secrete antibodies against collagen. They will upregulate molecules like B7-1 and B7-2, and these are molecules very important when a cell wants to interact with a T cell. So with this MHC class II molecule, another molecule which is crucial for the interaction with a T cell, they can then present pieces of collagen to the T cell. And this is what we call antigen presentation. So we think that they will communicate with T cell in this way. They present the collagen here. Now the T cell will become active. In a normal situation, a T cell that has a self-reactivity would not be activated. But if it gets the right signal, it can actually become activated. And this is when we call that you break the tolerance. And in this case, you break the T cell tolerance to collagen, because this is the protein of this mouse. So you break the tolerance here. And then the T cell have now all the tools to help these follicular B cells that can recognize collagen to make really good high affinity antibodies, and particularly of this IgG type, which we know are pathogenic in arthritis. Now I'm going to move to a subject that is quite novel, and that is because that in humans, marginal zone B cells, they are kind of circulating. They are found in the spleen, they are found in the blood, they are found in the lymph nodes. While in the mouse, it has always been confined to the spleen, that they are stationary in the spleen. But since we had found this thing that the collagen reactivity in the lymph node was quite delayed compared to the spleen, we thought that maybe it's possible that Marginson B cells from the spleen will migrate to the lymph node and there start activating the response. And due to the migration, it takes a while, and that's why we see this delayed response. So we set out to investigate, do we see any Marginson B cell in the lymph node? So we used the same markers that we did before, the CD1D high and CD23 low, and actually we could detect this population. And I just have this diagram to show that it looks pretty much similar. So mice seem to have monsoon B cells in the lymph node, but it's a rare population. And we investigated young mice and saw that the population was really small, about 1% of the B cells in the lymph node. But in aged mice, you saw that this was increased in double amount. And actually, we saw that it was particularly the females that had this increased population of the Marginson B cells in the lymph node. And of course, here again, we wanted to make sure that this was not just a feature in this DBA1 strain. We also found them in the BALB/c and the CBA strain. So they are present in different strain at different frequencies. So we could detect them from 1 to 6% of the B cell population in the lymph node. So we call these Marginson B cell, nodal marginal zone B cell, and this is the shortening for that. And of course, we needed to check if they had the same features as the marginal zone B cells in the spleen. So here we have taken a sample from a mouse So it's the same mouse where we have the spleen and the lymph node from the same mouse, and then we investigate them for different expressions. And we particularly investigated the expression of markers that is known to be specific for monosomal B cells in the spleen, because these are characterized previously in the spleen. So we used this forward side scatter, that is a size measurement, and it's known that the monosomal B cells, they are a little bit larger than the follicular B cells, and that we could see in these nodal cells, and this is then comparison with the spleen. And also, the monosomal B cells are high in IgM, and this is compared to the follicular ones in the lymph node, and you see the same pattern here in the spleen. They should be low in IgD, like in the spleen, and this is what you also see here. And they have a presence of CD9, which is not present on follicular ones, and you see also that in the spleen, monosomal B cells. So they have many of these features similar to the monosomal B cells in the spleen. But there were also other markers that we wanted to investigate, which also are characteristics on monosomal B cells in the spleen, which are increased compared to follicular B cells. So we looked at CD8 and CD86, and these are molecules supported for antigen presentation. So they are increased compared to follicular B cells. So now we're just talking about the monosomal B cells from the lymph node, the nodal monosomal B cells, in comparison to follicular B cells from the lymph node. And you see that there's a difference. Difference is in the toll-like receptor expression, and this has also been shown for the monosomal B cells in the spleen. Fc gamma receptor 2b should also be higher expressed on monosomal B cells, and indeed they also show this. But then we come to these antigens. The complement receptor, CD21, should be higher in the monosomal B cells compared to follicular B cells when you compare it in the spleen. But this is not the case here. Here, the node monosomal B cells, they present similar expression level as the follicular ones. And the same goes for the complement receptor 1, which is CD35. And here we see that the node monosomal B cells, they have less MHC class II expression compared to the follicular ones. And this is the vice versa in the monosomal B cells in the spleen. So we conclude that these cells are similar, but they are not identical due to these markers. And then, of course, we want to also to make sure that we didn't look at another population of B cells, because it has been described many other populations of B cells, for example, the B1a subset and also the B10 subset. They have a marker like CD5, and another subset called age-associated B cells, they have a characteristic feature of being positive for CD11c. So we wanted to exclude that they didn't have this expression, and indeed we didn't see any CD5 on the monosomal B cells here, and we compared it with follicular. We couldn't. There was just a few percentage of cells that had CD5. The CD11c, there were some of the monosomal B cells, but this was much lower than the frequency seen in these cells. So we conclude that these markers, CD5 and CD11c, they are not characteristic markers on these cells. And then we wanted to check also that what within this population do we have memory cells? Because in humans, the monosomal B cells are represented by memory cells. So we also want to know, is this also a feature in mice? So here we characterize the mice according to different markers, which has been published. So we use published markers for the memory B cells in mice. And then we investigated the frequency of memory cells in this population, the nodal monosomal B cells, or in the follicular ones, and in young mice or in aged mice. And you see that the nodal monosomal B cells, they have higher numbers of the memory B cells compared to the follicular B cells. So they have contain some memory cells, and if you look at the memory cells, how many still are presenting IgM and are not switched memory cells? Because you could reckon that they would be switched because memory cells, they have seen an antigen. But we see that there is up to like 35% of the nodal monson B cells which have this memory phenotype that are still IgM positive. So this is a kind of a characteristic of these memory cells. And you don't see this in the follicular memory compartment. So they contain IgM positive memory cells. And we also wanted to see where are they found, these cells. So we used marker for IgM and for CD1d, and we did the double staining, and maybe it's not so easy to see, but you just need to trust me. So that these brownish red cells are then double positive cells, and this is the whole lymph node. So in order to show this area is actually what we call the subcapsular area, and this is now drawn here in a sketch where we find the cells. And this area is called the sinus, the subcapsular sinus, just underneath the capsule. But you also have something in the medullar sinus. And this is area which is very similar to the marginal zone in the spleen, where the antigen comes in into the lymph node. So they are situated actually where the antigen is coming in. So that would fit also with the function of the cells and the characteristics that they have, this marginal zone characteristic. And we wanted to see what will happen if we immunize the mice with collagen. What happens to this population? Well, 10 days after immunization, this is untouched mice, we see that the number, the frequency of nodal monson B cells out of the total number of B cells in the lymph node increases. And this is very interesting if you compare here. So if you use another antigen like OVA, this control antigen, you don't get this expansion. And if you just use Freund's complete adjuvants, which lacks collagen now, you don't either get this expansion. So they only expand if you have collagen around. And then we did a kinetics, looking when do these cells proliferate and become more of. And then we see that at day 10, they peak kind of, and then they decrease. So this is significant from naive mice. So you have more of these cells around day 10, 12 after immunization with collagen. And also, if you look at different markers on the cells compared to naive cells and collagen immunized mice, the nodal monson B cells, they upregulate MSC class 2, they upregulate Fc gamma receptor 2b, they upregulate CD70. There is a trend that the CXCR5, which is a chemokine receptor, which is important for the migration of the cells, seem to be upregulated. That indicates that these cells are antigen activated. And the next question is, of course, then, are they then self-reactive to collagen as the marginal zone B cells in the spleen? And here we used not an LS spot technique because there are so few cells, so it's not possible to do an LS spot. So instead we sorted the cells, and you only get a few wells of cells, and then we stimulated the cells, and then we analyzed the culture supernatant for IgM anticollagen antibodies or IgG anticollagen antibodies. And you see that already at day zero, that means these are naive, you have IgM antibodies and even IgG antibodies, even though it's very low titer. And this titer increases if you use cells from immunized mice 5 days after immunization or 12 days after immunization. And we also wanted to know, do they secrete cytokines? And we had an array of different cytokines, and this came out. And we only got a signal from IL-6. So this is naive cells, and this is after immunization. They secrete IL-6. we could detect a little bit of TNF, and these cytokines I showed you previously is also produced by the Magnusson B cells in the spleen, but we could not detect IL-10. We don't know if they don't produce IL-10 or it was due to that there were so few cells that the concentration was too low to detect IL-10 in this assay. But they do secrete cytokines similar to the Magnusson B cells in the spleen. And we also showed that the nodal Magnusson B cell, they can present collagen to these collagen-specific T cells, showing here that the nodal Magnusson B cell, they are a little bit more efficient than the follicular ones from the lymph node to present collagen. So we believe that when we immunize mice, the first response starts in the spleen, and this is then mediated by the Magnusson B cells. Magnusson B cells that are spontaneous reactive to this protein, and they expand, and they will then interact with T cells, and thereby breaking tolerance in the T cells to collagen, and the T cell will then give help to the follicular B cells, which will then produce this high affinity IgG antibodies. And we know that these receptors on the Magnusson B cells will regulate this self-reactivity, because lack of these receptors, the Magnusson B cell will be much more responsive, especially to toll-like receptor stimuli. Then we think that there is some type of interaction, a signal here that we don't really know if that is IgM signals or immune complex signals with IgM and collagen, we don't know. But we know that there is a response from also a small subset of these Magnusson B cells in the lymph node that we call node Magnusson B cells, that they get activated by collagen, they expand, they can present antigen to T cells, the T cell will give help to these follicular B cells, which will then produce high amount of this pathogenic IgG anti-collagen antibodies. And we know that these will then trigger the inflammatory response in the tissue here, where you also have collagen in joints, and this will then trigger inflammation of the mice. So by that, I will finish and I will take the conclusion for you. Self-reactive Magnusson B cells, they are present in the spleen and in lymph nodes of naive mice, so that is quite similar then to humans, that you have also Magnusson B cells in the lymph node. Self-reactive Magnusson B cells, they expand in an autoimmune setting and they produce autoantibodies. Antigen presentation by self-reactive Magnusson B cells is likely a key event leading to the breakage of the T cell tolerance and leading to autoimmunity. And impaired intrinsic regulation in Magnusson B cells causes increased response to toll-like receptor stimulation. So the take-home message is that innate type of B cells might be a source of autoreactive B cells in human autoimmunity. And maybe possibly, instead of depleting all B cells, like with the rituximab, maybe we can find an antibody or some way to just target the self-reactive B cells, because then you would limit the side effect from when you're using the whole depletion of B cells. So you could just get rid of the autoreactive B cells. And I want to acknowledge people in my group, especially Anna-Karin Palm, that has made most of this work, but also former students to me, Kajsa Prokopek, and also postdoc Cecilia Karnroth, and some other students in my lab. And I have also collaborated with Linda Myers, who also sent us this transgenic mouse expressing this T-cell receptor for collagen. And these are the funding sources, and this is Uppsala University. Thank you very much.